I just almost feel very invincible, like I can do anything.
Hi, thank you for joining us. This episode, we have Alia Abdi, our Somali Community Ambassador. Alia, how did you come to know about KIM? What brought you in?
Thank you for having me, Grace. I came about to know about KIM when a lecturer at TAFE told me about it. She said to me, because I was telling her, like, I wanted a place to belong, but also a place that I could, that could help me to find my voice. And so she came about KIM Disability Advocacy, where she was like, I think this is the right place for you. And, basically connected me, sent an email in, and, she connected.
And what were you doing at KIM, with KIM Disability Advocacy?
So I started off doing my intern at KIM when I was doing my diploma in community services. And so when we were in classes, we would always talk about advocacy and disability rights and things like that. And so she thought, okay, what better way to put into practice what you learned than going to KIM Disability Advocacy and actually putting that into practice and putting my voice to good use. Yeah.
Excellent, yeah. What circumstances brought you to Australia?
So the circumstances that brought me to Australia was when I was born. I was actually born in New Zealand. My parents are from a Somali background. They migrated to New Zealand, and from there I was born. So when I was born with a condition called cerebral palsy. And the doctors pretty much said that it was really hard for me to grow up in a very cold place, and they'd really asked my parents to think about going to New Zealand, to Australia, to migrate to Australia again. Yeah, so my parents then went on to move me, my brother at the time, it was only the two of us, and we moved to Australia with my parents.
What did you have to do differently, or what new skills did you have to learn, or what support services have you been receiving or still receive as a result of, you mentioned before, having been born with a disability?
So my parents, being from Somalia and migrating to New Zealand and to Australia, English is not their first language, it's Somali. And so I pretty much, my parents just went off and trusted the health system in New Zealand. And just learned to, or tried their best at whatever capacity they had with their limited English to learn how to advocate for me. And so I grew up here mainly. So I then from an early age had to learn how to self-advocate as a primary school student. And there was just something in me that knew when things weren't right, when the teachers were treating me differently, or when I wasn't getting the right adequate therapy. And from there, I used my little voice to tell my parents, or to explain to them, I'm pretty sure that having a disability is not a big deal, and I can also have a good quality of life regardless of that. So I think my self-advocacy journey actually started probably, I'd say, from the age of eight.
Wow, that's amazing that at such a young age, you were so intuitive. You knew that, no, I shouldn't be treated this way, or no, this shouldn't be done that way. That's amazing.
So thank you. It's a skill that I had to learn from an early age, and that was pretty much because of the circumstances that I was put in or that I was in. Yeah.
Where your parents didn't know about advocacy or what your rights were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. And so with all of that, and, you know, with your parents' background from a Somali community, how has that community reacted to your disability or to your achievements?
So the community actually is, although disability is quite, there's a lot of people with disabilities in our community, yet they were not seen. They were heard of, but they weren't seen. And because I'm quite the opposite, I've self-advocated from a young age. I did quite the opposite, really. And I just know that I can also be grateful, but also need to find ways to get help from the community. So one doesn't eliminate the other one. It's a balancing party. And so that's even given me the more fuel to continue to self-advocate for myself and people like me to just live life to the fullest and also acknowledge that I guess I have a disability, but you know, not, I don't feel sorry for myself. I use that as an agent of a tool to create a change for myself and the way society sees people with disabilities, especially coming from with different layers of different background, language, religion, you name it, you know. So I'm trying to just educate the community just by being myself, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I definitely think, you know, not only are you educating them as they see what you're doing and your achievements, because I believe you were at TAFE.
Because I was doing all this self-advocacy work, I really wanted like a background of an actual, like a qualification backing me up and understanding what my rights were in Australia and as a person with disability. That led me to doing a certificate for community services. I then went on to do my diploma in community services, and that course really gave me the confidence that I needed and that background knowledge of, you know, what it means to self-advocate, what it means to have a disability, and just, you know, with that, what can I do to better myself or even just, you know, have that ripple effect by community. So that was really the core essence of why I did my diploma in community services. Yeah, so that's...
And not whilst you were there, but afterwards you received an award.
Yes, the award. So I got an award for the Culturally Diverse Student of the Year. I wasn't really expecting that. You know, I show up in the world in my true self. Like, I don't necessarily do it out of recognition or things like that. So it was actually quite a sweet surprise to actually, like, win that award, because it's like I've just been myself and I've always tried to challenge, you know, classmates or even lecturers about, you know, like, you know, we all have these preconceived ideas of different things. We all have our own biases, and we all need to challenge our own biases, and that's what I did, and that's what I brought into the classroom, was challenge that and not be seen as a student with a disability rather than just a student that was very just trying to engage and try to like learn and grasp a lot so I can carry that knowledge for people that might not have the opportunity in my community with a disability and just like model that for them. Yeah.
Do you think your community was proud of you when you received that award? Were they confused?
I think they were very confused, but also I think they were very, like, very unsure. They were a bit like, we didn't think, yeah, like, how? Where did that come from? And part of that is because I don't go around saying what I do, and so it was like, perhaps I feel like it wasn't said, but I feel like it really struck a chord with parents with kids with disabilities to just let them be out there and let them just follow their dreams, and that doesn't stop. And I had parents actually come up to me and tell me, like, oh, I think my kid is on the spectrum, or my kid, and this is new for our community. This is not something that's spoken about. So the fact, I think, although people didn't come up to me face to face and say, look, we're really proud of you for that, but I think there were other, you know, and culture has a lot to do with it, but there were a lot of other messaging that I got that really stood out, that they were really proud. But again, it's just different communities have a different way of communicating.
But I think that's amazing. Parents who have children with a disability coming out, that in itself is a success for you.
Yeah.
In addition to your award.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so in addition to your award, can you share with the audience any other positive things that you have appreciated in your life, or, yeah, anything that has perhaps impacted your life, any achievements that you consider?
you know, being part of kin disability advocacy in itself, my parents, my family, my community is actually really proud of that, because although kin disability advocacy has been around for a very long time, it's not very heard of in our community. So, you know, things like that and just being on the board and voicing that has been very effective in my community. And for me, it's like, I really appreciate all these little things in life that kind of, those ripple effects that kind of in the end make those big things. And just seeing those little changes in our community has been really great. And also for me as a person with a disability, knowing that I can achieve something regardless of my disability, and just, you know, celebrating myself as a human. And that's what I do when I come to the kin disability advocacy, is that I feel like I'm coming in and I feel celebrated for who I am and what I have to bring rather than the quota of, oh, that's another person with a disability. It's more of a special feeling that I haven't felt like ever in my life. And that is why I really, really respect what kin disability advocacy does. And I'm like, yeah, just in awe of what they do and how they help us as people with disabilities come out of our shells.
That's great. And do you have any final words that you would like to share with the listeners, whether they are from a CAL background or not, whether they have a disability or not? Perhaps the message is different.
Yeah, so I really want to share or really make it clear or that education is key. And without education, we will always be stagnant and always looking for that, you know, that there's trying to learn about people and their disabilities with or even without a disability. And just that continuous education process of just, you know, getting out there, asking questions, because as a person with a disability, I'm happy to answer questions and come with no preconceived ideas, just with a real open heart to want to know and to want to learn about us and to collaborate and we can work together to really make a difference for our communities, society at large, and in the world. We can, you know, we can make the world a better place just by understanding each other. So I would say to anyone, like, education, just educate yourself. Come, ask questions, make friends with people with disabilities, and just, yeah, celebrate life as it should be. Yeah. Yeah,
don't be afraid.
Yeah.
People with a disability are no different.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we're not any different, and
you never know what you'll learn.
Yeah, and you never know what opportunities may open up for you when you do meet people with disabilities. You'd be surprised with the world of expertise that people with disabilities come from. And not only from a lived experience, but even a professional experience. So yeah, just keep it open-minded. What I would love to tell people or share, shall I say.
Thank you, Alia. That's amazing. Loved your story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a JM Podcasting Services production. Link in the show notes.